Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, good evening. This is Legacy of a Nation. I'm Brother Mac, and soon to join us will be my loyal co-host, Sun752. We come to you at this time from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern every Saturday. Every Saturday, we come and with a mission, the mission being to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. The Aboriginal community of which I speak is none other than you and I. We who are descended from slaves are unaware that the slaves from whom we are descended were natives. They were Aborigines. Native Aborigines, indigenous. They were the indigenous people in the Americas. They were in North America, Central America, South America, thousands of years before the arrival of the Europeans 500 years ago in 1492 by way of Christopher Columbus. And Legacy of a Nation feels that when we know who we are, we have a different way of feeling about ourselves, and consequently we have a different way of acting about among ourselves. When we become aware that our story or our history did not begin with the Atlantic slave trade, as we have been told, we were already here. Our ancestors were already in these lands of the Americas. Legacy of a Nation feels that it's extremely important that we come to this understanding, because the rest of the world is waiting for us to become aware of who we are. They already are. They already are aware that we are the 26th largest nation by population in the world. We are larger than more than 200 nations. Now, this means little to us because we don't have any concept as to what it means to be Aboriginal versus unwanted immigrant, as they have tried to label us. And so the argument can be made that some of our ancestors did but surely come from Africa. But does that mean that we are to ignore the fact that our ancestors were already here as well? Are we to discount the fact of our aboriginality, the fact that we are natives? Should we discount that, pretend that it doesn't exist or that it means nothing? Legacy of a Nation says no. Actually, that is paramount. That is what we have to consider and then to reconsider. We are Aborigines. That means that in spite of being a 14th Amendment citizens, we are Aboriginals. We are Aborigines. We are natives. We have always been here by way of our ancestry. And Legacy of a Nation has documented that and has come up with 22 references that we're going to read off to you after I acknowledge and welcome our loyal co-host, Sun 752. Sun 752, good evening, sir. I trust that all is well with you.
Brother Mac, I'm feeling like a real man should. It's always a pleasure to be broadcasting with you on another Saturday evening. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm as fine as can be, Sun 752. Thank you for asking. And it's a wonderful time to be alive and well. And we are, you and I, are alive and well and enjoying this beautiful, let's say, I think we had the first day of fall last week or this week. We are into the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's beautiful. In any case, 7752. I've not made the introduction for today's main topic, which is politics. And if you would, I would like for you to make that introduction. But if you feel that it's appropriate, I would like to go ahead and read off the 22 references that we've isolated for our listeners.
Absolutely, Brother Matt. Go ahead, proceed okay. With the 22 references.
Okay. These references are for the purpose of your being able to do research to the depth that you are satisfied that we are Aborigines, that we are indigenous, that we are natives, that our ancestors were in these lands for thousands of years before the arrival of the Europeans in 1492. And 7752, if you would, let's see, I need you to go ahead and introduce today's politic, that I need about 30 seconds of off-air time. Can you
okay.
do that for me, please? Okay. Please.
All right. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Legacy of a Nation show. The Legacy of a Nation show broadcasts each and every Saturday evening. Wait a minute. Okay. The Legacy of a Nation show broadcasts each and every Saturday evening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Legacy of a Nation movement represents, advocates, and supports the Aboriginal, Native, and Indigenous community of North and South America. We were here first. North and South America and the Caribbean, excuse me. We were here first. We were here before Europeans ever came here to colonize these lands, so-called colonize these lands, and practice genocide and rape and pillage on the natives. We were here before Africans were ever brought here in the reverse middle passage. We were here before the so-called Native American, and that is in no way any disrespect to the so-called Native American. It's just that the Native American is us, and we are them. This is Legacy of a Nation, and we are Native. We are Indigenous. We are Aboriginal. This evening, we are talking about politics. We are talking about politics, and we're asking the question, are we treated badly due to lack of economic power? Are we treated badly by the world, by government, because of our lack of economic power? So what we're basically asking is, if we could compete financially with other races and ethnic groups, would we be able to improve our condition? And if you would like to speak on this topic, we invite you to call in. The number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Once again, the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. All you have to do is press number 1, and that will let us know that you would like to speak. And then we will call you out by the last 4 digits of your telephone number. And you don't have to give your name if you choose to remain anonymous. However, if you choose to identify yourself, you're well within your liberty to do so. With that being said, once again, welcome to the Legacy of a Nation show with Brother Mac and Sun 752. Brother Mac, if you're ready, we will defer back to you.
Thank you, Sen 752, and I am ready, yes. All right, the 22 references that we have isolated for you, I will read them off. I'll spell them, and if you have questions or further clarification, feel free to speak up, and either now or later offline. All right. Reference number one is Ouachita. Ouachita is spelled W-A-S-H-E-T-A-W, Ouachita. Reference number two is Black Californians. B-L-A-C-K, Black Californians, C-A-L-I-F-O-R-N-I-A-N-S, Black Californians. And number three is Black Mound Builders. Mound, M-O-U-N-D, Builders, B-U-I-L-D-E-R-S, Black Mound Builders. Number four is Colossal Heads. Colossal, C-O-L-O-S-S-A-L, Colossal Heads, H-E-A-D-S, Colossal Heads. And number five is Folsom People. Folsom, F-O-L-S-O-M, People, P-E-O-P-L-E. And number six is Garifuna People. Garifuna, G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A, Garifuna People. And number seven is Maroons. Maroons, M-A-R-O-O-N-S, Maroons. And number eight is Yamasee People. Yamasee, Y-A-M-A-S-E-E, Yamasee People. And number nine is Moors. Moors, M-U-U-R-S, Moors. Number 10 is Darienite People. Darienite is D-A-R-I-E-N-I-T-E, Darienite. And number 11 is Olmecs. Olmecs, O-L-M-E-C-S, Olmecs. And number 12 is Heritage. Heritage, H-E-R-I-T-A-G-E, Heritage. And number 13 is Melungeon Moor. Melungeon, M-E-L-U-N-G-E-N, Moor. This time is M-O-O-R, Melungeon Moor. And number 14 is Fulani People. Fulani, F-U-L-A-N-I, Fulani People. And number 15 is Mandinka People. Mandinka, M-A-N-D-I-N-K-A, Mandinka. And number 16 is Hyksos. Hyksos, H-Y-K-S-O-S, Hyksos. And number 17 is Neteru. Neteru, N-E-T-E-R-U, Neteru. Number 18 is Lumerian. Lumerian, L-U-M-E-R-I-A-N, Lumerian. And number 19 is Noble Drew Ali. Noble, N-O-B-L-E, Drew, D-R-E-W, Ali, A-L-I, Noble Drew Ali. And number 20 is Moorish American, Moorish, M-O-O-R-I-S-H, Moorish American, A-M-E-R-I-C-A-N. And number 21 is Anasazi, Anasazi, A-N-A-S-A-Z-I, Anasazi. And 22 and last is Mississippians, Mississippians, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I-A-N-S. With these 22 references, we feel that you can definitely prove to yourself beyond a doubt our claim that we are Aborigines, that we are indigenous, that we are natives to the lands in the Americas. That includes North America, Central America, South America, and all of the Caribbean islands. They found our ancestors there when they arrived. And I might mention that within 5 years of the arrival of the Europeans, they had wiped out through war and with their European diseases and working the working to death our ancestors in the mines. They had wiped out 90% of the native population. There were millions of us when they arrived. And within 5 years, there were only a few. but those few are our ancestors, and we need to be aware of who we are and how we got to be the way that we are. And so, having given you the 22 references, let me point out that over the course of the month, we cover four main topics. The four main topics are: number one, health. We feel that a people, whether it be a household or a nation, needs to know how to gain and maintain the health of its residents. Number two is history. Every people needs to know where they came from, and they also need to have some idea where they're going. Number three is politics. Every people needs to know who makes the laws, who has to follow them, what are the punishments if you don't, what are the rewards if you do. And number four is economics. Every nation needs to know how to house, clothe, and feed its residents. And so Legacy of a Nation feels, in covering these four main topics, we are nation building somewhat. We are attempting to raise the awareness of a nation of people more than 50 million strong who are unaware of who they are and how they got to be the way that they are. And so for an hour each week, we provide a platform whereby we Aborigines, we Native Americans, we Indigenous people, we who are called Negroes, colored, African Americans, Africans, Afro-Americans, colored people, provide a platform whereby we can talk among ourselves about ourselves with the hope that we can come to a better understanding of how we got to be the way that we are, with the divisions that we have, with the opinions that we have about ourselves. Legacy of a Nation hopes to pull back the veil that has been put over our eyes over centuries to make us feel that we are a minority in our own land, to make us feel that the color of our skin is a detriment, that it is bad and needs to be changed to look more like those who have made war on us and our ancestors. And so in providing this platform, we can talk about these things, and we don't have to agree. We don't all have to agree, but we at Legacy of a Nation feel that it's important that we can talk about them. Because when a conversation is had, usually both parties come away knowing something that they did not know. And so it is the hope of Legacy of a Nation that follows through, and that we become more aware of who we are and how we got to be the way that they are, because of the mission that we have, which is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. Now, today's main topic is politics, and we raised the question: are we treated badly because we have no economic power? Sun 752, is there any doubt in your mind as to who I'm talking to when I say we? Are we treated badly because of a lack of economic power?
No, I think we know exactly who you must be alluding to.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Senator, for that vote of confidence. Yes. I wanted to throw out an example of what I had in mind as to bringing to light as to the way that we, when I say we Aborigines, we the way that we are treated by the people that we buy from, the people whose services we use, it's such a pervasive thing that we don't even notice that when we trade with the other ethnic groups, they don't even feel the need to be kind to us. They don't even have to be courteous. And we will still buy from them. We will still give them our money. 7752, have you thought about this in any way? And if not, are you thinking about it now?
Well, yeah, I'm fully aware of the phenomenon that you're talking about, and I make sure that it's not my practice to do business in any way with people who don't show any respect or hold me in mind in any type of regard of decency. So I know that it happens for us, and one of the reasons that it happens for us is because we feel validated when we give black dollars to white businesses. Unfortunately, our history of mental slavery makes us feel good about consciously we actually think that we're showing them that we have money too and that we can have nice things.
Mm-hmm.
Consciously, yeah. That's what we're doing. Subconsciously, we don't recognize the damage that we're doing to ourselves and the message that we're sending. We're sending the message that you can treat us any type of way. You can treat us disrespectfully. You can treat us maliciously. You can even physically treat us bad, and we'll still come and feel good about giving you our money. So in that way, Brother Mac, when I look at the title of the show and we ask the question, are we treated badly due to our lack of economic power? You know, I was talking a little bit about this on our show this morning. And and when you think about it, if you took away, let's put it this way. If we are being treated badly because of our lack of economic power, is that to say that other people are treated well because of their economic power? Look at the way that.
In answering your question in part, the difference between the way that we are treated and the reason for it, in my opinion, is that we have accepted and continue to accept that we don't have any choice but to spend our money with people who show disrespect openly, blatantly, telling you in word and deed, I don't want to deal with you. And we have accepted this behavior, I think, over time, and it has become ingrained in our culture, and we don't even see the disrespect as being such because we have been dealing with it for a long time, and I think that it has become our norm. But I wanted to raise the issue that even those of us who object to being treated badly by those with whom we are spending our money, we run into a problem if we say, well, I'm going to spend my money with my own people, with my own kind. 7752, can you see the problem that this causes? Can you see the wall that you run into if you decide, yeah, well, I'm going to trade with only with my people? Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, first of all, trading with your own people shouldn't be a circumstance of you failing at trading with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, you know, trading with your own people should be your first option. Not like, yeah, okay, you know what? Since you don't want to act right, I'll go and support black businesses from now on. Take that. That ain't going to work, because that means anytime that you feel like you're being treated fairly, then the black businesses don't get any of your money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to support black businesses as a retaliation for you getting your feelings hurt, that's not helping us at all. But what I wanted to finish saying about this whole thing about us being treated badly due to economic power, like I said, I asked the question, are other races, ethnic groups, cultures, are they treated better because they have money? I mean, look around the world. Look at what we do around the world. Are we going places and only picking on the poor? Are we picking on people on countries that don't have any money? Are we just going around kicking around third world countries? Or is it that anybody who doesn't look like them gets treated a certain type of way? But there's a difference between the way that you can treat somebody in your own home and the way that you can treat somebody else in their home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've heard this phenomenon plenty of times. You know, there are plenty of black people who really believe that if we had more economic power, if we pulled our resources and things like that, then police brutality would stop, systemic racism would stop, and all that kind of stuff. And I fail to see how one thing has anything to do with the other, because you have to consider that we were money before. Forget about having economic power. We were economic power. We were a commodity. We were money. We were trade. Expensive trade, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, like when we speak about slavery, as many times as we may speak about it and as much as some people may have learned about it, but one thing that fails to be fully understood is that only wealthy white men owned slaves. Nobody else. Women didn't own slaves. Poor white trash could not afford slaves. They weren't inexpensive. They were very expensive. They were more expensive than horses and cattle and livestock. I mean, they should be. You know, these things, these articles of trade could talk, read, invent things, multiply. You know, they were people. So when you consider that we were being treated terribly when we were actually economic power, when we were totally representative of economic power, why would we think that having economic power for ourselves would improve our condition? You know, Brother Mac, if you took away certain elements of the black community, If you took away crime, if you took away crime, violent and nonviolent crime, what would you have left? What would you have left if you took away all the crime, violent and nonviolent? So prostitution, theft, drugs, selling and using. What would you have left in the black community if you took away all of the visible negativity? What would you have left, Brother Matt?
Let's see. I'm tempted to say, Sun 752, you would have the same thing that you have now. You would have a community of people who are not criminals, and who don't have to support criminals, and who would not allow themselves to be criminalized by their captors.
Okay. Well, that's one way of looking at it. But I was thinking more along these lines when we're focusing on our people. If you took away all of those things, if there was a way for you to take away our crime element, the things that scare people from moving near where we are and seeking housing and things like that. If you took those things away, you would still have oppression, you would still have disenfranchisement, you would still have mental slavery, you would still have lack of self-esteem, you would still have self-hate, you would still have a history of systemic racism. You would still have all of those things. And you know what else you would have? You would have lack of education. You would still have an educational system that teaches us how to be more subservient and submissive. So, you know, you can take away what you consider the result to be, but guess what? You still have the cause.
But
now, if you want to,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I wanted to respond to something that you haven't said yet.
Let's say we took away the violent crime, the nonviolent crime, the drugs, and we took away the poverty. What would you have left?
You would still have a
people who have no knowledge of themselves.
Wait, Sun 752. I think that would probably be the case if everything else remained equal. When we raise our awareness and come to realize that the reason that we have this big knot on our heads is because we keep bumping into the same cabinet door every time we go to the kitchen. Now,
and what would that cabinet door be?
In our case, a lack of knowledge.
Wait a minute.
We don't know.
What's the reason for our lack of knowledge?
Systematically, we have been programmed to defy, to avoid knowledge of ourselves. We have been programmed to feel that learning about ourselves is an anathema. It's not to be done. It's painful. Why go there? Why not concentrate on going to heaven after we die rather than concentrate on making the surroundings that we have to face every day heavenly? If that makes any sense.
It makes sense. I'm not sure if our problems have one particular source in common that you can't escape. And it's our alpha and our omega. We are born a product of the oppression of the white man, and we die trying to live up to the expectations of the white man.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's hurtful to hear that. And most of us will deny that. Like, nah, that ain't what I do. But if you really look beneath the surface, you'll find it. You'll find it. I mean, look at how many of us, if we're going to talk about economic power, where do we normally take our economic power to?
Well,
do we normally keep our economic power within our own ranks? Do we go amongst our own people and try to improve their condition with our economic power, or do we take our economic power out to the suburbs where it will be nice and safe and preserved?
Well, 7752, you make a very good point. The thing is, I think that we perhaps need to give a sharper definition to the term economic power. Economic power is not the taking of our money and giving it to somebody else. That's spending money. Economic power would be for us to form a credit union in our own neighborhood. Economic power would be for us to have a bank that belongs to the people in our own neighborhood. Economic power would be us clustering together in a neighborhood rather than looking for a way out. We can look at the examples of a Chinatown, a Puerto Rican town, a Dominican town, a Korean town,
you had it right with the Asians, but the other ones, no. They don't have a sustained community. They are as dependent upon the white man as we are. It starts out looking good, but that's not the way it ends. So,
well,
you know.
7752, if you compare what they have to what we have, it might look totally different. They have a cohesiveness that we avoid like it's a bad disease. They have their own little stores. They trade among themselves, and the money generated stays in the community for several days. Our situation is that we get the check, we take it to the check cashing place, we get money orders for utilities and bills, and walk out of the check cashing place as broke as when we walked in. We walk in with the check that hasn't even been cashed yet, and then we go home with no money. There's no money to turn over because we have given it to the enemy, if I may use that term. And if I use that term, it's lovingly. But we get rid of it.
Not when I use it.
It's okay. it's all right. But we have to come to the awareness that we don't have economic power because we can't do anything as a block. Does that make sense?
Well,
7752.
Yes, it makes sense, Brother Mac. But power.
We can't pull a boycott. Yes, because
wait a minute. Now, power comes in different forms. I understand what you mean about economic power coming from basically being proactive, but economic power is also reactive. So if we're going to talk about a boycott is all about taking money away from places. It has been proven that black people alone can keep any business afloat. It can keep businesses in the black, in fact. You know, I mean, black dollars alone. We have been known to keep businesses running on our money alone. So that is power.
Sun 752, in my opinion, I would question that as being power, because we don't even realize that the bridge is being held up because we are standing under it, holding it up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of people don't recognize the power that they have. It doesn't mean that they don't have it. It's there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay,
Look, you can use power to help, or you can use power to hurt. It works both ways.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to bring up during this session. Next week, the main topic is economics. But I wanted to bring up in this session politics to point out that we are treated badly by those that we economically support, and we are treated badly with impunity. There is no punishment for them treating us badly. They don't have to, because we continue to patronize, to give them our money and time and service, no matter how they treat us. That is not true with any other economic group. I should say it's not true with any other ethnic group. Can I say that?
I'm saying it.
They treat us badly with impunity. There's no punishment. There's no punishment for them to treat us badly. And we are learning, even in today's atmosphere, in the year
2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the year 2020. We are still crawling out from the oppression and depression that has been wreaked upon us for hundreds of years. And we are now becoming somewhat aware of the importance of exercising our privilege or right to vote.
So the
use of our money would be the equivalent of voting if we chose to trade among ourselves as much as possible and to accumulate wealth in our own neighborhood, to band together as a people, as a unit. We don't have to be homogeneous. We are not, and we don't need to be. But we do need to be unashamed of who we are, and we need to be aware of how we got to be the way that we are. In other words, we need to be aware of why we have the attitudes that we do. Why is it we will walk an extra block past a black store to trade with a non-black, whether he be Arab, Asian, European, otherwise, even Dominican, even another black. We need to be aware, and I feel that we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this and become aware. Why do we do the way that we do? Why are we treated the way that we are treated? And I sincerely believe again that we are treated the way that we are because there are no repercussions for treating us differently.
But wait a minute, you're saying, wait, Brother Matt. Which one is it? We're treated badly because there are no repercussions, or we have no economic power? The two aren't the same. Which one is it?
Well, I think Sun 752, the two are closely related in that we are treated badly because the people that we give our money to receive no punishment or repercussions for being nasty to us, for letting us know that they would, you know, they would like for us to think that they don't value our service or our money, that it's a privilege. They would like to convey that it's a privilege for us to be able to come into their stores, their offices, and bring them our money. And they don't have to be nice because we're going to do it anyway. And so,
well,
they can take
brother,
out their...
Brother Mac, I think you may be exaggerating that example a little bit. Because if one thing that black people don't put up with is being openly disrespected, so I don't.
Really?
I'm not sure if I can agree with. Yeah. Really. We'll put up with you outright showing racism. We'll still patronize. Like if Gucci or H&M or some other business advertises some kind of campaign with racial undertones in it or something like that, black people will still patronize. However, on a one-on-one basis, we won't buy from a place where they will cuss us out or make us feel bad right in the store. We will walk out of the store. Individually, you're not going to disrespect us. As a people, as long as we can't see it, hear it, or feel it ourselves, yes, we still patronize. But even with what you're talking about, if you're talking about there are no financial repercussions, well, that's a financial repercussion right there. Like if you go, let's say if a black woman goes into a hair store and Miss Lee doesn't treat her nice, she'll go to another hair store. You know what I mean? But that is a financial repercussion. It's one that they can easily recover from because our overvalue of something that feeds our vanity, which we may feel is all we really have out here, supersedes going to a black business. I want to say
okay.
Soliciting
all right.
a black business. But wait a minute. If we were all rich, would it stop us? Would it stop police brutality?
Well,
because there have been rich people who've been brutalized.
Well, let's see. Without answering that question directly, Sun 752, which I can't really. I don't know. But if
I can answer it. The answer is no.
Well, I think it would be interesting to explore what would stop police brutality. If we voted for a mayor who would be subject to staying in office because our votes count, or us replacing him with somebody who would be more sympathetic to the black cause, and who would put a bug in his police chief's ear. Hey, you can't be brutal to those people and expect me to stay in office. You can't.
What does that have to do with our economic power, brother man?
7752.
You know that's politics.
In damn right. Oops. Yes, it's politics. What is today's main topic?
Politics.
And what we're talking about is, why is it, or the question is, are we treated badly due to lack of economic power? We don't use leverage that we actually have. That's money leverage as well as political leverage.
Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Breonna Taylor was killed on March 12th of 2020 by the police. Her family received a settlement of $12 million. That's definitely an economic consequence. It's a lot of money. Can't bring that life back, but you sure lost a lot of money off of it.
Right.
So my point is, economic power is not going to stop our mistreatment, because it wasn't lack of economic power that started our mistreatment in the first place. That ain't what started it. That ain't what's going to end it. I mean, you can't deny it.
All right.
It wasn't our lack of economic power that started our mistreatment. So we have to go back to where the root of our mistreatment started.
Okay.
And it ain't got nothing to do with us not having money.
All right. Caller 4644 has an opinion. Let's bring on the caller.
All right. Caller with the last number is 4644. Welcome to the Legacy
of the Nation
show.
If you can't buy politicians, you're not going to have no economic power. All you're going to do is vote. You got economic power, you vote. You can vote all you want. As a business person, a viable business person, I'm not talking about selling weave, doing nails, selling shea butter, kente cloth. I'm talking about a viable business. Dave Stewart, who owns Worldwide Technology, he's black.
What's wrong with selling shea butter, kente cloth, and those things? What's wrong with
selling? It ain't no money. Exactly. That's not no money.
It's the honest living. What's wrong with selling those things?
Let us not be distracted, 7752.
And another thing, Dave Stewart, he gave $757,000 of his own money to the Missouri Republican Party. So with that, he's getting favorable treatment for his business. And here's another thing. Conservatives should not be buying from those who don't share their same interests. They're saying value.
Really? Really now?
How in the heck can you buy, and I don't, and many don't either. And I don't care who it is. You don't buy from somebody who is contributing to a candidate who's proposing legislation that's going to be detrimental to your interests. You just don't do that.
That's right. Not if you have any
and I don't care if it's a black business or whoever. I ain't buying black, and I turn around, they contributing to some ratchet Democrats that's proposing tax increases, open borders. That don't make sense.
In other words, if I didn't know better, I'd say that you're saying you must use your economic power to your advantage and support those who are pro your cause and avoid those who are opposed to your cause.
You are absolutely right.
Yes, sir. And I agree with you completely.
The same way you don't marry. If you got a son that's a brain surgeon and multi-degree. He's not going to be marrying some woman that work in rallies. That just don't make any sense.
Yo, you be killing me with this mess, man. Yo, all of that. I mean, it's one thing to insult the criminal element. You insult people who are working, trying, you know, learning and trying to get better. You know, like you just are an equal opportunity. You like anybody who's not doing what you do, you have something negative to say about them. So anybody who hasn't risen to your self-imposed status, you don't think that they're worthy of, like, they don't count in the numbers or something like that. It's ridiculous. But
people don't marry down, sir. You don't marry
people
down.
People marry down all the time. People marry down.
Well, then
all
that's
the time.
Them. Well,
billionaires,
look, people,
billionaires do
they
not
can
marry
do that.
Other billionaires, sir.
All right, well, let me
do
say
not
this
marry
then.
Other billionaires.
It's
sir.
Nothing wrong with those that want to do that.
Billionaires do not marry other billionaires, sir. And if you need proof of that, I can give you at least 10 examples. Billionaires do not marry other billionaires.
Well,
so
here's
that's
the thing. Here's the thing.
That people do
here's
marry
thing.
Down. But I
yeah,
have a question
it.
For
yeah,
you before we end.
Oh, wait a minute. Let
you.
Me get this out, then you can ask all the questions
no,
you want.
No. I just have I'm going to ask the question that I want now. How on the topic of this show right now, since you say that you only spend your money where they have political interest in what you have political interest in. So the topic is, are we treated badly due to lack of economic power? Do you subscribe to that?
Anyone that don't have the ability to control their politics. I mean, one of your favorite lecturers, Claude Anderson, tell you that. If you ain't got no business, you ain't going to voting for what he says. You ain't going to control no politics. And then you get treated badly. Yes. Mm-hmm. You ain't got no money. In this capitalist, marvelous capitalist country, you're going to be treated badly. Not only by those who have it, by your own people. Now, let's try to say those that look like you. Just look at Chicago, for instance. Over 2,100 shootings of blacks since Memorial Day weekend this year.
Right.
2,132
and that's because they didn't have money? That's because they didn't have economic power?
Well, that's, apparently that's, the politics is not doing
killing?
Anything to help them.
My question is, were those shootings, were those killings, were they because
I cannot
of
tell
lack of
you why
power?
The shootings, but I can tell
exactly.
you one thing. Blacks
exactly.
are leaving. Blacks are fleeing the city. Especially on South Shore Drive, they say like 3,000 black millionaires ran out of there. I don't blame them.
I wouldn't expect you to blame them, but it doesn't take away from the fact that black people are not mistreated because they lack economic power, because black people are not treated better because they have economic power. We can gain some access to some places, but we never get full access. And when we get full access, we gain access into people who are going to take away all of our access. When black people have a lot of economic power, the goal of everybody the goal of all their opposition is to relieve them of that economic power. And
well,
guess what? It works.
Here's where your statement is flawed. You acting like blacks is all monotonous and also a separate country. That is just not true. There ain't no separate country in the United States called black country. All blacks don't think the same. Apparently they don't, because
that's
they don't
true.
Spend their money like some want them to. So I'm saying yes. If you don't have the key element, look at Nigerians. Nigerians, the highest educational attainment, even more so than Asians and white, they have higher household income, even so than Asian and white. Not all of them, but they have a preponderance. 40% of the black male population on your Ivy League colleges are black Nigerians. Guess what they're majoring in? High-paying majors. Blacks are overrepresented in low-paying wage majors.
Are Nigerians treated better? Are Nigerians treated better?
Well, how would you judge that? By being out there in the street marches and say, no justice, no peace? I never see them.
Well, we're talking about First of all, the title of the show, are we treated badly? You brought up
who is we?
Nobody was talking about we American black people. American descendants.
All black people are not the same. I never have been treated badly because I know people that's not treated badly, so you can't say that.
Wait. You've never been treated badly by white people.
No, I ain't never been treated badly. I've only had one traffic violation, and the last one was in the 70s.
Then I would have to say that you don't know what being treated badly means.
Well, tell me what it is. Tell me what it is, and I'll tell you.
You know,
since you know what it is, apparently based on your experience, tell me, what was your experience that you considered being treated badly?
Well, first of all, just because a particular experience may not be mine individually does not mean that it does not affect me. I'm fully aware of that. So,
well, tell me what it is. That's all I ask you. What is it?
Well, I've been treated badly by white people directly before.
Like what? But tell me. Give me an example.
I've been called nigger. I've been kept out of places. I've been chased out of neighborhoods.
I haven't experienced that. I've been called nigger by black people.
Let me ask you this. Since you've never been treated that way, was it because of your economic power? Was that the only reason that you haven't been treated?
We're talking
that way?
About economic power and being equivalent to political power. But you haven't told me we're talking about whites. You ain't told me how you've been treated badly where I can look at that and tell you if I've experienced what you threw out there so far. I said no.
But I'm asking you, if you don't feel like you've been treated badly, do you feel like it's because of your economic power? Have you always been rich, sir?
Listen. Your analogy.
It is so hard.
Your analogy, it does not hold any substance.
Have you always been financially?
I come from a very well-to-do family. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I know some that are responsible and accountable in their community as it comes down to politics. So are they being treated badly? Well, based on what you describe, I would have to say I've never seen it with them.
Well, there's a bigger world than what we can see. I think you do agree with that because you said all black people are not the same, right?
I'm telling you that, yes. And blacks are not a separate nation in this country.
I'm not aware of that.
And they are not a separate nation. Do you understand they are not a separate nation in this country?
We are not talking about whether they are a separate nation or not. The name of this show
is
called
Legacy of
a Nation. Forget about what I make it. Listen, sir, I'm very good at saying exactly what I mean. I don't talk in variables.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this, and I'm going to let you go back to your show. Blacks in the United States are United States citizens. Now, they can claim to be something else, but there's some tests out there that will show them that they're U.S. citizens, and they don't think alike. You got classism that exists within blacks. I always have had it. Going back to the 1600s through 1865, you had black businesses said that blacks don't support their business. Back then, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the nature of human beings. And I have said this. I do not support those efforts, those concerns, who do not share my values and work against my interests. What sense does that make? Anyway, you guys should be out there by now. Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
I thank you. 7752, we are already over time. Would you please sign us out and give thanks to our listeners and also our participants? With a promise that we'll be back next week.
Hey, Brother Mac, you said it all. With that being said, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. No? I want to thank everybody for listening to the show.
I didn't say it all. I didn't say it all, 7752. Thank you.
All right. remember, everyone, we're still in a pandemic. We're still trying to return to normal life, but in the meantime, people are still getting sick, people are still dying, and we want to make sure that all of our people are healthy. all of our people who listen to this show and all of our people that we can ever think of in our family, friends, social circle, and those who are important to us. So with that being said, please make sure that you wear your PPE when you're out there in the world. Please stay away from situations where you think that you could put your health in danger. And please look after your people. So with that being said, on behalf of Brother Max Sun 752 and Legacy of a Nation worldwide, internationally, and universally, we leave you with peace. Be well, and we'll see you next Saturday. All right.